Okay, so I'm not gonna lie. This is like my favorite part of the whole conference is like right here. Relationships, yes. Relationships are like family, friends, like all the good stuff, but let's be real, we're going relationships here. We're going like men and women, like, yeah, like opposite sex, what's going on in relationships? You guys down with that? Yes? So here's the deal, men and women created equal but different, yes? Yeah? Equal in dignity, different in kind. Fellas, are women a little hard to understand sometimes, a little complicated, a little confusing, a little, okay, good. Ladies, do men care? Oh, there's the two stereotypes, right? For all us to see, guys are always like, Sarah, I don't even know I did wrong. I didn't even say anything. I don't even know. I just like, men just look at women and go, just back away slowly. Like, don't set it off, right? Like, and then women come up to me all the time. They're like, guys don't care about anything, Sarah. They don't care about me, themselves, hygiene, nothing. We got nothing. I'm going to die alone with 100 cats. Like, what is going to happen to my life, right? Okay, men and women, right? Like, we sometimes miss each other, just a little bit. Equal in dignity, different in kind. Sometimes we miss each other. What I want to do in this talk is I want to hold the hand of the women, and I want to hold the hand of the men, and I want to have a conversation that you would rather eat your arm off than have. Amen? Is it hard to talk to the opposite sex? Yes. So I love this, because guys, you know, I love going into, like, all guys Catholic high schools, and they're like, oh, like, the relationship ladies here, like, get a gun in my life, right? And then, like, halfway through my talk, they're, like, leaning forward. And then by the end of my talk, they're like, the secrets to women, feed me. I'll take all the help I can get, right? Fellas, are you in this with me? Yeah? You want, like, yeah? How do you pursue a woman in the 21st century? That's this talk. They're like, oh, I'm really glad I didn't take a nap. I'm here. Okay, good. So here's the deal. There's going to be times during this talk where I'm, like, talking to the men, and I'm like, men, ladies, I want you to get out a glitter pen and take some notes, okay? Ladies, there's going to be times during the talk, right? Or fellas, like, there's going to be time where I'm just talking to the ladies, and I want you to, like, put that somewhere deep, because, like, I might be talking to the ladies, but fellas, like, I'm talking to you. Not a great winker, but y'all got it? Okay, good. So here's the deal. I want to start this talk off with, I want to help the men out. So men, this is for you. I want to take you into, like, a little look into the heart and mind of a woman. Are you guys okay with that? All the guys are like, she's going to do that in 45 minutes. All the girls are like, buckle up, right? Okay. So here we go. Fellas, this will help you out. Ladies, tell me if you can relate to this. It's typical Friday night, right? You got all your best girls in the house. It's like chick flick, movie marathon, sweats, box of Little Debbies. I mean, both boxes of Little Debbies. Let's be real. We don't share. And it's just like game on. And you're going to escape reality. You throw on the first one. You're like, oh, this is so good. Why do we not do this every night, right? And then you like throw on the sequel. Bad Boy Goes Altar Boy Part 2, the musical, my personal favorite. And you're like, the credits roll, and y'all just look at each other, and you're like, oh, well, my life is officially worthless. Good, let's do it again, right? So you like throw on the third movie. It's like 2 in the morning, and the credits roll, and the whole room's just very quiet. And then one of you like picks up the remote control, chucks it against the wall, and you're like, when's it gonna be my turn? I'm so sick and tired of waiting for Mr. Right, Mr. Perfect to come into my life. I need a cute guy and a horse and a sunset right now, right? And you vent about him and him and him and this and this and this, and you fall asleep bitter and frustrated and completely out of oatmeal cream pies, but you're like ready for the weekend, and you're like scrolling through your phone. It's like babies and engagements. You're like, I'm gonna burn my phone. And then finally, like, Monday comes along, right? And you're like walking the halls of your school or at Stubie STL, and you see a guy that you're like halfway attracted to, and he's like, hey. And you're like, hey, I want you, right? So ladies, what do? Well, naturally, you start. fellas. Awkward giggling means it's true every time, all right? You see that? All the girls are like, don't laugh, right? Fellas are like, I don't even have a definition. I'm already a little creeped out, right? Okay, mental stalking. It's where they think about, like, where you're going to go on your first date and, like, where you're going to propose. And they do what we call the Christmas card test, where you take your first name and his last name and every baby name you've ever loved, because you can't be too careful, right? All the guys are like, I've never done that before, right? Like, welcome, men, welcome, right? And then you start social media stalking, right? You're like scrolling. 3 hours later, you're like, he was the cutest fifth grader I have ever seen in my life, right? And you, right, ladies, you see a picture of him with his arm around a girl and you're like, oh, that better be his sister, right? It's real, right? Social media stalking. And then you start flirting and then you start texting and Snapchat, right? Did y'all hear like how quiet the room went? It's like, did you hear it? It was texting and Snapchat, right? Like just charged. Those words are just like charged, right? It's real. They're real. Then you start calling and FaceTiming, and then you start physically stalking. It's like, oh my goodness. Wow, that escalated quickly. Wow. Okay. So I lovingly call this the emoticoaster. And the reason why I call it the emoticoaster is it's kind of like a roller coaster. You've all had that amazing amusement park experience, right? Where you're convincing your like four best friends that this 4 hour wait is going to epically change their life, right? And you're just standing in line and you can like smell the asphalt burning through your flip flops, right? And you're just watching everybody else ride and you're like, oh, I am so very happy for you. And then you like finally get to the ride. And you like strap in and you're like, yes. And you up the mountain, ching, 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 and you're like, yes. And you finally get to the top and it just throws you down, right? And your like stomach comes up and your head's like, doo, 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 tears streaming down your face. And if you're a female, you have a permanent hole in the back of your head where your earring was like digging into the back of your neck, right? Like, it's just a wild ride. And then this ride comes to this grinding halt and you take one step off the ride. And you throw up in front of everyone. And you spend the rest of the day under a shady tree with a trash can wondering why that was truly so epic, right? Tell me, have you guys ever seen this before? Mental stalking, social media stalking, flirting, texting, Snapchat, calling, FaceTime, FaceTime, like the emoticoaster, it's real, right? We just don't always see it on a slide. How many, raise your hand if you've ever watched your friend ride the emoticoaster with someone. Have you guys ever seen that? Yeah. Keep your hand up if you are that friend. Good, okay, great. So we've all seen it, we just don't typically see it on a slide, right? Here's the deal. I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater. Everything on this slide is going to be a part of a relationship, yes. Social media is not going anywhere, our phones are not going anywhere. It's all here, it's all part of it. But could there be some potential traps? Are y'all, I'm a visual learner. I don't know if you guys are visual learners. I like to see it. Okay, good. I like to see it. So I have this really overwhelming slide called the potential, like I call it the potential traps slide. And so I'm just bringing it to offer it because I'm visual and it helps me. So don't get overwhelmed, but here it is, okay? It's the potential trap slide. Y'all with me? Mental stalking. It's a one-way relationship. You're building the unknown. Expectations can be too high and it can be creepy. Social media stalking, you're getting into someone's personal life and making assumptions. Wouldn't you rather let that person tell you about himself or herself? Flirting, you may be seeking attention or feeling an insecurity or sending mixed messages, and it can come across as fake. Don't you want them to get to know the real you? Texting or Snapchat, it can be intimate, misinterpreted. You can rationalize things as no big deal, and it can be addictive. Calling or FaceTime, you may stay up late and reveal a lot about yourself, and calling and texting and Snapchat and FaceTime can all be very private. And then physically stalking, not just like the puppy dog following someone around, but like you have to be around them. You don't have any fun without them. You do things just because they do. You may change who you are to please them and start going to things just because they are there. It's easy to wrap yourself up in something for the wrong reasons. That last one's hard for me to even read because that was just me in high school. The world's idea perfect, the pressure, everything you feel, all the expectations that are put on you, not only to be someone, but to be with someone, spins us onto the emoticoaster, and the emoticoaster spins people onto what I call the cycle of use. We talked about it last night. Men use women to get what they want. Women use men to get what they want. Fill in the blanks. Unfortunately, it usually looks like men use women emotionally, manipulate them, get them where it hurts, where they're most vulnerable to get what they want, which is sex. And women use their sex appeal, their bodies, what they know they can offer to get what they want, which is to feel loved or to feel romance or to feel desired or to feel anything at all. I had you last night think about the times in your life where you've been used emotionally or physically. It's real. You've seen it in other people. You've probably felt it in your own life, in your own heart. Repeat after me. I will not use you, and I will not let you use me. I was giving this talk a couple years ago, and it was at Benedictine, and then a couple weeks later, I was out on a walk with the kids, and this 6'5", like, big old football player comes up to me, And he's like, Mrs. Swafford, can I talk to you for a minute? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And we were just like walking along, like chatting and talking. And then all of a sudden he just like stops and he turns to me. He goes, I just want you to know that I was at your talk a couple weeks ago. And he's like, that very next weekend, I found myself alone in a room with a girl and I was about to make a really poor life choice. And your stupid voice came in my head. And I was like, I can't use you and I can't let you use me. And I walked out of that room and I walked down the stairs and I walked out the door and I walked back to my dorm room. And as I was walking back into my room, I just stopped and I thought to myself, I think I know for the first time what it means to be a man. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, yes. And I looked at this guy. I was like, you get it. I was like, you win. You the man, like game, set, match. I was like, you have no idea what you gave her that night. I was like, you gave her a gift that only you could give. You handed her her dignity and her self-worth. You handed her her confidence. I could stand on a stage for 2 weeks and tell her she's beautiful and she's worth more than just body parts, and I wouldn't go anywhere with her. You were able to do that in 2 seconds. You the man. You get it. And he cried, and I cried, and I saw a look in his eyes that said, I get it. I know the cycle of use. I know what it does to me, and I know what I can do with it to other people, and it has to be called out. Amen? Repeat after me. I will not use you, and I will not let you use me. The cycle of use is real, and we know that. But here's the deal. This is truth. This is a truth slide. Our God is a Trinity. He is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are made in the image and likeness of God, and we are created for relationship. You guys, if we are in the image of God, we are created for relationship. It's why we're obsessed with it. It's why we're addicted to it. It's why everyone in this room wants to be in a relationship of some kind, because we are made for it. It's just really messy sometimes, amen? Like, we're made for it. This is one of my favorite Bible verses of all time. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God abides in us. And his love is brought to perfection in us. Is that how relationships typically play out? In our broken world, do we image the love of the Trinity and image the love of God to one another so that God perfectly abides in us in these relationships? Like, it's messy, it's hard. When I was in college, I was taking a class and the teacher was like, what are some virtues? Throw out some virtues. And I was like, virtue? Like, locked in a vault with Jane Austen? Yeah, virtue. What? Like, I have no idea. I was like, ooh, patience is a virtue. Yes. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's all I got, right? Like, one and done. Yep. Right? Like, I can't, I mean, and he went on to put these notes on the board and change my life. This is what he said. Virtue is striving for human excellence. Virtue is forming the habits of knowing and choosing the good and right thing to do. Virtue harnesses and trains your passions and emotions to work towards the good. And virtue gives you the freedom to love. I'm like taking notes with my glitter pen. And I'm like, I don't know what virtue is, but I got to get me some of this. Like, this is what I want. How am I supposed to love in these relationships? How am I supposed to look at men and not use them to affirm me? Or like, how do I look at other women and not compete with them? Like, how do I love? How do I model the image of, I don't even know. Like, I ran across this word and I ran across these notes and I started really thinking through this whole virtue thing because I didn't know what that word meant. And then I ran smack dab into this quote. Changed my life. Love is not primarily a feeling, though it can be accompanied by feeling, heck yes. That's the confusion of our time, confusing love's feeling with love itself. Love actually is a great act of the will. It's when I say, I desire your good, not for my sake, but for yours. Again, I don't have a tattoo, but that would fit perfectly right here on my arm, right? You guys, look at that. Look at this slide. Love is not primarily a feeling, though it can be accompanied by feeling. That's the confusion of our time, confusing love's feeling with love itself. Love actually is a great act of the will. It's when I say, I desire your good, not for my sake, but for yours. What is virtue? Virtue is rising above the spontaneous reaction of what you desire in that moment to choose the true, the good, and the beautiful. That is virtue. What is chastity? Chastity says, you know, people say it all the time. It's probably been said to you, if you really loved me, then you'd, what? If you really loved me, then you'd show me. Oh, no, actually, if I really loved you, I'd sacrifice for you. That's actually the answer. I'd actually lay down my life for you and die to this, because if I can die to my sexual desires, I can do anything for you. P.S. Nod your head up and down if that followed in your heart. Does that make sense to you? Fellas, seriously, all women want, I told the women in the women's talk today, our Lord took Eve from the rib of Adam. Why? Because he desired her to be the helpmate. He desired her to be from the rib, not the foot or the hand or anywhere else, because our Lord wants women at the side of the men, under their arm and close to their heart. Protection. Like us, women want to follow you. Men, we want you to lead. We want you to take this train and go. We want you to lead this. But we have to be able to trust you that you're not going to use us. We have to be able to trust that you're going to protect us and play this game, which is called the long game, which is called I love you and I desire what's best for you. And even though this might be what I want in this moment, that's not what's best for your heart. Like, I love you. This is what I want for you. The true good and the beautiful isn't always the easy choice, amen? But it's the long game. When I stand in front of you and say, like, I don't know if you guys ever felt this way, but I used to feel this way all the time. I'm like, look, people, I know what I don't want. I know what I'm not supposed to do. I know all the no's. I can give you a Jason Everett chassis talk right now. Like, we can do that. Like, I know what I'm not supposed to be doing. But what the heck am I supposed to be doing right now? Do you ever feel like that? Like, I felt like that all the time. I'm like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, but I don't know what to do. When I was in college, a bunch of us girls got together. We got really brave one night and we walked up to a group of our guy friends and we were like, what do you want? Like, what are you looking for in a woman? Like, what are you looking for if you're called to marriage and a spouse? Like, what's the most attractive thing about a woman? And they got into a man huddle. Have you guys all seen a man huddle, right? Where guys, like, get together and they, like, put their arms around each other and it's like rugby and they start swaying back and forth like this. And there's typically grunting, right? And the men, our guy friends are over in this huddle for like 10 minutes. We're like, this is so good. They're like actually talking about it. Like, this is gonna be amazing. So like 10 minutes later, they like break huddle and they go all John Wayne. They're like, we got it. And we're like, okay, like give it to us. Like, most attractive thing about a woman, like, yeah. And they're like, okay, we got it. Holiness and confidence. And we were like, I'm sorry, come again? And they were like, holiness and confidence. They said even guys that are not into their faith would say they want a girl who knows who she is and does the right thing. And we were like, okay, wow, that is deep, thank you. And it was the most awkward exit of a building of all time. We were just like, wow, thank you, wow, that is so good, thanks, wow. And we left. And I remember we got back to my room and one of my friends like threw a coat on the ground. She's like, why did we even ask? We asked. We don't even know what that means. Like, oh yeah, just watch me go be holy and confident. Watch me frolic. Here I go, right? Like, I got nothing. We went back to the guys. We're like, hi, we're going to need some, like, practical tips and tools to, like, execute this, right? Like, we all thought we had to, like, lose 10 pounds and dye our hair, and this is proving to be a little more complicated. Okay, so they busted out a napkin and started, like, writing out. They called her the simply irresistible virtuous woman. They started, like, writing out this woman. And we were like, this is good. This is good. Keep doing that. That's good. And then we, being the generous women that we are, we started the simply irresistible virtuous man list. And then we presented them to each other, and the guys had theirs on a napkin. Ours was in Excel, color-coded, because men and women are equal in dignity but different, amen? Yes. And so we, like, brought it to each other, and it was the most, I mean, seriously, top 10 moments of my college career was, like, that night. It just started this amazing conversation that has gone on for years. And I ask people all the time. I ask priests. I ask religious. I ask married people. I ask grandparents. I ask young people. I'm like, what do you think should be on this list? Like, men, what do you think should be on this list? Women, what do you think should be on the list for the men? And I just started compiling it all. And I brought them with me, all right? So ladies first. Ladies, this is what the men wrote for the women. They call her the simply irresistible virtuous woman, all right? Here she is. She's feminine. She's confident. And she's committed. She's feminine. She's graceful and gentle and kind, graceful and sincere, patient and flexible, doesn't gossip, isn't rude, tries to eliminate drama, not create it, poised and modest, open to the needs of others, nurturing and welcoming, joyful and fun. She's confident. She stands up for what is right and seeks the truth. She has courage and is not afraid to confront and help someone. She's genuinely excited for another, not jealous or vain. She speaks with conviction. She's responsible, prudent, humble, and honest. She's secure. She's sensitive to the needs of others. She's committed. Her relationship with God comes first in her life. She puts others first before herself. She strives for excellence in all things, in chastity and sobriety, and tries her hardest in academics or her career. She's not led solely by her emotions and passions. She maintains balance and order in her life. She lives a life of charity and service. She's forgiving, trustworthy, loyal, and pure. Okay, all the ladies in the house, take a deep breath in and let it out. Good. One more time. Deep breath in and let it out. Good. Ladies, repeat after me. Striving. Striving. Not perfect, because perfect doesn't exist. Striving. Deep breath in and let it out. Good. Fellas, did you notice how I had to take the women through deep breathing treatments just now, right? Like, when we look at lists like this, we're not like, oh my gosh, I want to be her. Like, we look at lists like this and we're like, I'm not that, I'm not that, I'm not. I messed that one up at lunch. I'm not that, I'm not that, I'm not. I think I'll just take a nap, actually. Ladies, striving. This is what the guys tell me. It's awesome. They're like, Sarah, this is what's so crazy about that list. Like, it's not that, like, nobody's perfect, but, like, Sarah, like, what's crazy about the list is, like, what's attractive about her is her act of striving for it. Like, that's what's attractive is her striving for it. Ladies, could you put that somewhere deep in your heart? Right? We live in a world of perfectionism. Let's just, like, put it down and pet it like the cat we don't want, right? Like, just put it down. No one's perfect. But striving is what we want, amen? Fellas, is this woman attractive? Okay, I have three guys. I'll pass your number out later. Anybody else? Yeah? Fellas, do you think this woman is attractive? Good. So make sure the women feel it deep in their heart. Ladies, do you want to see the simply irresistible virtuous man? The girls are always like, put up the slide. The guys are always like, or not. Is this going to be painful? I don't know, right? Fellas, I'm with you. We're in this together, okay? This is what the women wrote for the men. The simply irresistible virtuous man. He's masculine, confident, and committed. He's masculine. He's a leader, provider, protector, initiator, chivalrous, brave and courageous, gentle and respectful, intuitive and patient, joyful and fun. He's confident. He stands up for what is right and seeks the truth. He has courage and is not afraid to confront and help someone. He's genuinely excited for another, not jealous or vain. He speaks with conviction. He's responsible, prudent, humble, and honest. He's secure. He's sensitive to the needs of others. He's committed. His relationship with God comes first in his life. He puts others first before himself. He strives for excellence in all things, in chastity and sobriety, and tries his hardest in academics or his career. He's not led solely by his emotions or passions. He maintains balance and order in his life. He lives a life of charity and service. He's forgiving, trustworthy, loyal, and pure. All the fellas in the house just like shrug your shoulders like this and be like, I'm all right, I'm all right, I'm all right, I'm all right, I'm all right. I won't make you deep breathe. Just like, I'm all right, we're good. Fellas, repeat after me. Striving. Striving. Not perfect, because perfect doesn't exist. Striving. All the men go like this, all the women fan themselves. They're like, there's just something deeply attractive about a bunch of men saying striving, right? When I was in Australia, I was with a group of 1,000 high school guys, and they were saying striving. I'm like, I feel like I need to videotape this for the American women. I was like, this is good stuff. Okay, here's the deal. Fellas, it's more important for the women to hear me have you say striving, because they need to know. Like, ladies, there is no perfect guy. If you're called to marriage, you're looking for the perfect person for you, but no one's perfect. The guys just found out about the list about 3 seconds ago. We got to give them a chance, right? Ladies, is this man attractive? One more time so they can feel it deep in their souls. Is this man attractive? I knew you could be louder than that. It's a bunch of you. So the reason I want to bring attention to one thing. Did you guys notice how confident and committed were the exact same list? Did you notice that? Did you notice, hey, men and women, equal in dignity, different in kind. But hey, all the things on the feminine and the masculine, like all of those things, that's just what the women said about the men and the men said about the women. So many of those are interchangeable as well, right? Like I shared with the women earlier, like I have my own fantasy football team. My favorite restaurant is Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, I mean, does that make me less of a woman? No. Like, that's how I live out. You do you, right? You do you with faith and virtue, and now we're cooking, right? So like, live out, fellas. My husband is the most intuitive, sensitive, generous, patient man. Does that make him less of a man? No, it makes him more of a man, right? Like, this is the list that we strive after, you guys. Like, this, I call it the virtue challenge, right? Like, I mean, we even have my minions some dudes actually made these for me. My guys, I have minions, I have men and women that I work with, and they come up with the most brilliant ideas. But in my book, it's called The Virtue Challenge, and we have these, like, the sheets. You pick a different one every week. You write down which one you're working on. You write down three ways you want to grow in that virtue and three ways you know the devil's going to stand in your way and put obstacles up so that you're ready for him, so you can just, like, cut him off at the pass. And then you write down who your accountability partner is, because that's the most important part. If you want something in your life, seriously, if you want something in your life to grow, you feed it. If you want something in your life to die, you starve it. Amen? If you want to grow in virtue, I mean, this is my list, you guys. This is the list that I use. Swaff and I do the virtue challenge together. If you want something to grow in your life, feed it. If you want something to die in your life, starve it. It's the same as virtue. When you name it and say, this is what I'm struggling with, and you go after it, and you're aware of how it messes with you, if it's up in your head, it's just wishful thinking. If you write it down and name it and have an accountability partner, yeah, that's called, we're going to grow. Amen? I wanted you to see that this is just just some virtues. These are just some things. It's going to be bigger, and you're going to bring your personality, and you're going to bring your vibe, like your vibrancy, and the way that the Lord, you burn for the Lord, you're going to bring that to these lists and animate it. Amen? The reason why I asked both of you, is this person attractive? Because it's important, because at some points when I'm out, I'll have a group of guys that come up to me, and they're always like, Sarah, can we talk to you for a minute? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're always like, over there? I'm like, over in the dark corner? Yeah, absolutely. Let's all go over to the dark corner, right? So it's always me and like a big group of guys, and they're always like, Sarah, two quick questions. Are you sure this is what the women want? And I'm like, yeah, like, who, right? Like, they're really excited about it. And they're like, oh, okay, good, just one more quick question. Are you sure this is what the women want? And I'm like, yeah. And they always look at me with, like, pain in their eyes. And they're like, and the guys are like, then why do they throw themselves half naked at the complete opposite? Dark corner got darker, right? There are a lot of guys in this room that want to cheer right now, and they're holding themselves back. And here's why. I look at them. I know. Here's the deal. Look at my eyes. I always look at the men and I said, you know what? I get it. I feel you. That's a 4-hour answer. I don't even know if I have the answer, but here I'm going to boil it down to one word. And that one word is woundedness. It's because we're wounded. We've been hurt by things our dad said or didn't say, by the things men have said in our lives, by mean girls in seventh grade who bullied you so bad you had to switch schools. That's why people do things out of their woundedness, amen? When I went into that confessional, when I had my conversion, when I went into that priest that spoke truth to my heart, he said to me, he goes, Sarah, put it all in that box. And then he told me, he goes, you fall into the arms of our Lord, let him love you and heal you. And when you're strong and you're whole, you stand up and you run. You run. And if you're called to marriage, you look to the side and see who's running with you, and maybe that's who you're supposed to be with. I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, so you like looked to the side and Swaff was like blinking neon green. Awesome. Like, I wish it was like that. But actually, when I looked to the side, when I started running and looked to the side, I didn't see Swaff. You know who I saw? A group of women. I didn't trust women as far as I could throw them. And I saw a group of Catholic women that encouraged me. Ladies, I need you to find that group, that squad, that run with them. Fellas in the house, I need you to find that group of men that you can run with. I want to speak to the men really quickly. I need you. I could get in pink heels and get down on my knees and beg you. This train of relationships will not go without you. I need you. I need you to be the man that God has called you to be. And I'm so sorry for the times that you've been told by the world how to be a man and it was wrong. And I'm fighting for you because I need you. My husband is one of the most amazing men. One of my best friends is Father John Burns. I think about the priesthood. We need you. I think about families. We need you. I think about just the women in my life and the women in this room that need you. Like, I need you. So much falls on your shoulder, and I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm just telling you that a lot of guys come up and tell me, like, you're the first person that's ever challenged me to be more. I think people think we can't do it, and I know you can. I know you can. And I pray for you every day. Ladies, let's let God be God and let men be men, amen? Men, let's let the women be women and let's let God be God. We don't have to run at each other. We run to him and we see who's running with us. And we take as many people as we can with us, amen? Let's pray. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. You are made in the image and likeness of God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. You are God. You are Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, life-giving, pouring out from one to the other the way that we desire to pour out in our relationships. I pray in this moment that you pour down healing onto every heart in this room. Where insecurities and anxieties and wounds and all the desires of being perfect, where the cycle of use has damaged hearts, where wounds have been revealed to us, I ask you to pour healing into those right now. Help us to take it into the confessional and drop it off in that box. I pray in a special way that this talk in this moment helps every single person in this room to see the opposite sex in a different light, to see the opposite sex as a brother or sister in Christ who has run into heaven, and we can either be there to help them or to hurt them. That is a choice that we make. I pray for every single person in this room as they worry about their vocation and what they're called to, that they will see and know that their vocation is not a puzzle to be solved, but a gift to be received. And that they can open their hands up and let you put new beauty into those hands. We let go of our plans. We let go of what we think we need or want or should be. And we ask you to animate our souls and make us what you desire us to be. Helpmates for one another. Authentic masculinity and femininity running towards heaven. We give you all the glory. We trust in you. We lay our lives at your feet. We trust you. We know that you are the answer to all of our desires. Help us to trust you more. We love you and we praise you as we pray together. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. St. Joseph, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I forgot to tell the guys this. So a couple years ago, I took every nap time, and I wrote you guys a letter. I started it for the women, and then the men were like, I'm sorry, what? You're not going to include us? Hi. And so I burnt the first three chapters and started over, and I wrote it for men and women. But it's a letter from me to you, men. I know the ladies, they heard about earlier, but I would give anything for a group of men to get together and be like, let's read that book. Like, let's rock this. Let's lead this train. There's discussion questions in the back. I put a group of people on it. It's not too relationship-y. You can be caught in public with it, I promise.
All right, hold on. Sarah, men. We have such limited time. Go buy Sarah's book.
No, amen? I love it. I want the men to have it. Need this book more than anything.
I know. But and so, hey, guys, we want to get through as many questions as we can. We don't have a whole lot of time, and so we're going to have to move through them kind of quickly.
Yep.
But we're
beauty
just going to throw them out.
Beauty pageant answers.
Because we got places to be and things to do, yeah? Good deal.
We're going to answer like in a minute. Are you guys okay with that? Just so we can move through all of your questions. Lots of your questions. Like a minute. Is that okay?
The wonderful thing is that Sarah's on social media. I'm on social media. Oscar's on social media. And so you can always reach out to us on those places if there's something you want more development on, or you want to get email, all those things. Hey, and so relationships is a broad topic. It involves our family. It involves our friends. It involves so much, right? So one of the questions that came in Twitter was, how do I share a relationship with God with a friend who's got no background for that? They just don't have it. How do you share that, and how do you share God in that relationship?
Man, go for it, handsome.
I think a lot of the times that we just completely get it twisted in terms of relationship, and we really get self. It's all about self. It's all about who we are. The short answer, since we're doing the pageant thing, is be more about the person to the right and to the left of you. The more you practice that, the more it's going to be a lot easier to communicate the faith to individuals and communicate your excitement for our Lord to individuals. And it starts right now. Your small groups, perfect fertile ground for where you get that going, is communicate with that. That helps build relationship.
Yeah.
No one can argue with your testimony. You don't have to have every answer to all of the big questions. Just tell your story. Tell how Jesus has changed your life. They can't argue with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's just little acclamations like, praise you, Lord. My dad, when I was a kid growing up, like every person he met, like a blessing would have, he'd be like, it's just kingdom living. Like he always gave glory to God in every moment. People would be like, why? And that's how he shared his faith. So real simply, easily, just live it. Okay, cool. Another question, and this came up in a couple different places. So how did you know that the person in your relationship was the one? The one. Can I just real say? There is not a one. That's a myth.
No, I think I had a 30 until I got to the one.
Yeah, 30?
I think I had like 30 before I finally met the one.
I had 30 potential ones, and then I found the one.
I knew that my wife was the one when I saw her through the eyes of God. And what I meant was, like, I didn't see her as an object to make me feel better about myself. I didn't see her as just a physically attractive individual. I saw her as someone that, like, was absolutely, like, just beautiful through the eyes of the Creator. You know what I mean? And the minute I saw that is like, it's not about me. It's definitely about how do I make her more beautiful. That's when I knew that she was the one out of the.
Three ingredients that make a great relationship: God, chemistry, and timing. If any of the three are off, it's not going to work. And so when Swaf and I started dating, that was something that those three things came together in that time, and the Lord really blessed it. But like I said just now, I saw this dude like run past me towards heaven, and I was like, I want to go with him. And he's the complete opposite of me. He brought out a lot of the things that, I mean, it was just amazing to have someone who really challenged me. And I really, truly, I prayed through my vocation. Both of us prayed through religious life. And I remember we went on a walk, and he's like, I want to run to heaven with you. And I was like, yeah, game, go, team.
You know,
team.
Well, praise God for God, because I'm horrible at chemistry, and I'm always late. So if it wasn't for God, I would have completely missed my Pam.
Yeah.
And the Lord just blesses all of that. That's exactly
blessing.
Right. Bless it, Lord.
I will say, though, that the idea of the cosmic one, I think that has to be spoken to, right? Like, there's reality that when you decide, like, the person you met, when you know they're the one, that means they're the one. Like, there's no marriage that's not going to have trouble. There's no relationship that's not going to have struggles. And I remember when I got married, on my wedding day, my dad's best friend, Mike, pulled me aside and he goes, someday, Chris, you're going to be at work, and there's a woman's going to come in your life, and she's going to be amazing, and she's going to be everything, and you're going to be like, she's perfect. And he goes, no, she's not. You married that one. Does that make sense? Like, she's the one. Like, there's no, that idea, you got to throw that out. Like, the commitment, the person, the choice I made, that's the one.
In the backstage stuff, ultimately, like, when you look at what Sarah was mentioning last night, like, backstage, you see a picture of me and my wife, and we're extremely happy, and we are happy, but there's moments where I'm like, I just need to go to the bathroom right now and sit there for a long time, because I can't right now. So nothing's ever perfect. It's just how you work with it.
All right, moving, next question. How far is too far? That comes up, right? Like, how do I know? Where's the line, right? How far is too far?
You go first.
All right, I'm going to go more on the physical cue of how far is too far. Like, listen, in all honesty, if your heart rate just starts kicking up, you start sweating, like, your body, I'm dead serious, your body's preparing for intercourse at that point in time. Like, that's just the reality of it. So if you find yourself in a situation where, like, someone needs to check your pulse and you're sweating, like, y'all, you need to dip. Someone's got to go. You got to kick somebody out. Like, men, be man enough to say, baby, you got to go. Or women, just be like, get out. You know, but that's a physical cue of y'all gone too far.
I got a dip.
Oh, that was so good. Okay, I have a couple thoughts. One, this is super technical, but I really like it. And I think it just works. Anything aimed at the arousal of the other is saved for marriage. Anything aimed at the arousal of the other is saved for marriage. Dude, that takes care of a lot. A lot. So in my book, I talk about how you really, to rev someone's engine only to turn it off is not fair. It's tempting and it's teasing, and you don't do that to people you love, amen? So it just doesn't make sense. The other thing I talk about is like, dude, your relationship is a gorgeous Victorian home. And in that home of your relationship, there is this beautiful ornate fireplace. And the fire that you build in that, your sexual desire, like all of that, in that fireplace, that's marriage. Marriage is the fireplace. If you try to build a fire in the middle of your Victorian home without a fireplace, you will burn your freaking house to the ground. Amen? Does that make sense? Like, when you're married, you have a Victorian home and you have a big, ornate, beautiful fireplace. Stoke the fire, baby. That's great. Like, no one on the stage is going to say sex is bad. No, it's holy and it's sacred and it's amazing.
Six kids.
Four kids. How many kids do we all have? How many kids are on the stage, right? Hi.
I only have two. I'm so falling behind.
No, you're good. Here's the point. This will end it. If you can't do it in broad daylight in front of Pope Francis, it's off limits.
Oh, that was a lot.
Yeah.
It's true.
Hey, and it, I mean, okay, so this kind of, I want to follow up with this next question we got on Twitter. What advice would you give to your son or daughter if they were beginning to date? Okay. Now, my kid is 14, so I'm like here. This is, I'm living in this, so I'm buckling up.
All right, guys, so let's go. My baby girl was literally, we went on a date, and she bumped into this three-year-old boy, because she's, yeah, exactly. And at the end of it, she's like, I met my boyfriend. I said, no, you didn't. So I had to talk to her, and one of the things that I said was, make sure that he always chases you. You know what I mean? Like, don't go chasing no man. And I don't mean that to, like, downplay us as men, but I just don't think that women, you should be exerting that energy trying to seek a relationship out with a man. If a man's timing and chemistry isn't working, he's not the one of multiple, you know, whatever. But just make sure that he's constantly pursuing. He has to be in pursuit. You know, so that's the advice that I gave to my baby girl. My dude, I'm not ready to tell Antonio anything.
Friendship. Please promise me that you will learn to be friends with the opposite sex before you try to date anyone. I mean, I can't even stress to you guys enough what it's like. You will learn more when you go with a group of friends, like a bunch of your female friends, male friends, like squads hanging out, running together. You will learn more about the opposite sex or someone that you're interested in those groups than you will ever learn on 15 dates. Because they can pick you up at 7 and be Prince Charming or, you know, Princess Awesome until midnight and then drop you off and go right back to being whoever they were. But you can't fake that in front of your squads. You can't fake who you are. Does he open the door for just you or for all the women? Does she flirt with everyone or is she really showing interest in you? Yeah. Like, there are so many things that friendship will show you, like when you run together. And the other thing is this is really important to me, but if you're interested in someone, let's say, like, you know, you're in college, like, you can slip someone your number and you guys can text for 6 months in this gray area of what are we? Or you can say, like, oh, yeah, I like him. Like, yeah, I'm interested in him. And you can go to your squad of male friends because you've built up a squad of male friends. And you can go to the guys and be like, dude, Billy's awesome. I'm not going to tell him, but go get Billy. So then your guy friends go over and they're like, dude, we're going out, cosmic bowling, pancakes, let's go. And then Billy gets invited in, and what happens is Billy learns what it looks like to have guy friends that love Jesus. And that, you, otherwise he might just fall in love with you, but he might fall in love with Jesus through those guys. And then, you know, Sally's like, oh, Billy's so cute. And he looks at, you know, here comes Billy, who's now in love with Jesus. And she's like, okay, he isn't for me, but Amanda. And Amanda marries Billy, and it's all just beautiful. Did you all follow that? No, it's okay.
You just got real algebra. Whoa.
All the girls in here are like, yeah. The point of that entire thing was, you can date secretly over text and not have anybody go anywhere with their faith. Or you can start these squads of people where people can fall in love with Jesus Christ, not through you as a significant other, but through a group of friends. And it's beautiful. And that's how it needs to go down, because we really need more people in these squads. Amen? Yes, yes, yes.
I'm going to say, too, with kind of referencing the last question, the advice I give my son is don't let it get physical, because the minute it gets physical, you're on drugs, right? Like your body starts producing all these hormones that serve to bond you to the other person. And so you're not thinking critically anymore. You're not learning about the person. You're wrapped in it. So when you do break up, and you will break up, it's so much harder. And I've seen too many good, holy young men and women do stupid things because they're on drugs, right? Like your brain drugs. Are you with me? Okay, good.
Every relationship that you're in, every person that you date, that relationship will end in two ways. You will either break up or you will get married. And that has to change the way we see relationships, and it has to change the way you date. And that's why that friendship piece is so huge, is because that train rolls fast. So being aware of that, beginning with the end in mind, is huge.
Absolutely. Next question, how to get out of a toxic relationship? And I want to take this two ways, like the dating relationship, but also sometimes you get in these kind of codependent friendships, right? Yeah. So how do you get out of a toxic relationship?
There comes a point in time, because even within friendships, you're going to have that friend that is just completely, like, they're all about using, you know, whether emotionally or materialistically, right? Like, if you happen to have the greatest game console, then they're only reaching out to you because you have that game console, you know? Or you're a great listener, so they happen to unload all their emotions on you. But yet, there's nothing that's coming back. That relationship isn't reciprocated. There comes a point in time where if that becomes the case, then relationships, friendships can get toxic. That means that there's really, it's starting to be more dangerous than anything else, you know? At that point in time, I'm going to tell you, you just got to be honest, but in a very loving way, you know? There's a couple times where I had to tell my male friends, listen, I'm perpetually coming to this, you know, I'm reaching out to you, and there's very rarely any reaching out to me. So with that being said, you're showing that there's no investment in that. So, like, deuces. And I've had many man breakups, you know, because of that, you know? Like, bro, we gotta go. It's not me, it's you.
All right, Sarah, we got about 30 seconds for you on this one. We're
trying
to get one more in.
I love you. I love working with Oscar. It's the best. We dip. We gotta dip. I think this is a really great question because I think everyone in this room, like, we want to pour into people. We want to be there for people. I think that's awesome. But there comes a point where you need to be poured into. Like, someone needs to speak truth to your heart. And that squad, that crew that you run with, that's going to be a really important group for you in high school especially, and then on into college. Like, you guys have to invest in that. And if there's toxic personalities, you just bring it to the light. Bring it to the light. Bring it to the light. Call it out in love. You know what I mean? Share with them, like, what it is that you are looking for, what you're running for, especially with all the men out there. Dude, it just takes one man to stand up and be like, this is legit, I am running. Because what happens is all the other guys are like, yeah, I'm in, I just didn't want to be the one to say it. And then all of a sudden there's like six guys running towards the Lord. Just keep inviting people in, but know what you're about. Jesus Christ is the king of your heart, and running towards virtue and running towards heaven, and seriously just being there for one another. Remember the ladies, we talked about it. Being available, being vulnerable, and being accountable within those groups. That's what true friendships are made of. And that's when they get toxic, you just gotta bring it all to the light and don't let it dominate those relationships. Yeah.